Our study continues in the 13th chapter of Judges. The setting is that the angel of the Lord has just appeared unto the wife of Manoah, the Danite, and told her that she was going to bear a son, that she would no longer be barren, and that this son would begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines, that the son would be a Nazarite from the womb unto the grave, that she was to take care and not defile herself in any way with wine or strong drink or eat anything that was unclean so as not to defile him while she was carrying him in the womb. Well, she went and told the message to her husband immediately. And so now we have, beginning in verse 8, "Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God whom thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." So we learn here several things. First of all, her husband did believe her. Her husband believed that the angel had appeared to her and had given her this promise about this son who would be a deliverer of Israel. And the husband is concerned now about what to do, how to go about properly caring for this child. So he prays to God that God will send this man of God again, that God will send the angel again, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. We'd like to have some more information. How are we going to handle this? How can we best take care of this son? And it's not a matter of him being jealous and not believing what his wife said about it, but he wants to get more information. And so he is equally concerned then with properly raising up the child, properly doing the things that would be the things pleasing to God in this matter that his wife is. And so we see here where a husband has as much concern for properly rearing a child as the wife has, and that's the way that it should be. And so he's seeking to get more information. He's seeking more knowledge about how to carry this thing out. Verse 9, "And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah." So God heard Manoah's prayer. Manoah was praying for a very noble and honorable thing. More information about the son. More information about how to train the child. What to do unto the child. And so God hearkened to his voice. And this showed also that Manoah did believe that this angel came. He didn't doubt what his wife said. He believed it strongly enough that he asked for another vision, another appearance to get more information. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. Now here, he did not appear to Manoah the second time. He appeared to the wife again as she sat in the field. Now no doubt she was doing some kind of endeavor that required her to be in the field, maybe tending the flocks, but she was in a secluded situation where she was alone, and here this angel appeared again. And as we know, many times when we are in a secluded time, when we are by ourselves, then that's when we can be closest to the things of God, because our minds are taken away from the things of this world, and we can then dwell upon the things of God. And that's when God is most apt then to be closest to us, because we're closest to him. So this is when the angel came and appeared to her again as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, "Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." So the first thing she did is to run and get her husband. She wanted her husband to see this angel. She wanted her husband to experience this. And so she made haste and ran and got him. And of course, this is the very attitude that all persons should have when they are approached by God, and whenever they know the things of God. They want others to experience this. They want others to enjoy this. They want others to share and to know God also. So she did this to her husband. Said, "Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." And this word "other" is not in the original, but it's put in here in italics. And some of the translators translate this as that appeared unto me this same day, as though this angel was coming again the very same day that he had come originally. And that quite possibly is the translation here. We can't say for sure. So "other day" is not necessarily the correct translation, but it could be the same day. Verse 11, "And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man." So Manoah didn't have any hesitation. He wanted to see, he wanted to know, he wanted to believe. We're reminded of the time when Thomas doubted that the Savior was resurrected. He hadn't seen him, and he said, unless I put my hands into the nail prints and into the wound in his side, I will not believe. And but yet whenever Christ came and appeared to them the next time, Thomas was there. He wanted to see. He wanted to have evidence. He was ready to believe when given the opportunity. And so it is with Manoah. He arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. So Manoah was ready to really get involved in this thing. He wanted to know as much about this as his wife did. And so he went right to the very place where the angel was and made the contact. And Manoah said, verse 12, Now let thy words come to pass. So he did believe what the angel had said originally. He believed what his wife had said. He believed that they were given a promise. And so he entreats the angel, Let thy words come to pass. We're ready for this to happen. We're prepared. Let it happen. We want it to happen. Let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? So he's asking specific questions as to how they are to care for this child, how they are to properly go about this thing, what's going to be the best way to get the most advantage out of this blessing. And true it is, with any blessing that God gives us, if we do not handle the blessing properly, if we do not carry it out to the fullest of its potential, then it may even cease to be a blessing, because the blessing is only as good as the way that we manage and handle it and order it. And so it is with this promise of this child. He says, how shall we order the child? How are we going to go about this? What's the best way to raise him? And many, many other questions that could be included with this phrase, how shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And of all the blessings of life that we have, there's probably no blessing that this question is not more appropriately asked than this blessing of having a child. We must spend our greatest endeavor. We must use all of our resources. We must use all of our abilities in how to properly order and raise a child. How shall we do unto him? This is most, most important. It's vital. Because if we neglect this area of properly raising our children, we've neglected the most important blessing we can ever have in this life. We've neglected a very, very vital area of humanity, because raising, ordering, and doing unto our children as they should be done is our very, very great duty in this life. So that's the question that Manoah is asking this angel. And verse 13, The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I have said unto the woman, let her beware. So he reminds him again of the fact that it's most important for the woman to be dedicated to God, for this woman to diligently follow his instructions, because what she does, even at the time of conception, is vital to the proper caring of this child. Let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. So his first caution is to do the right thing at the very time the child is conceived and while he's being carried in the womb. Do all that I've commanded her. As we know, Samson was to be a Nazarite from the mother's womb. So the mother wouldn't do anything that would cause this unborn infant to violate this Nazarite vow. So she wasn't to take any wine or strong drink. She wasn't to eat any unclean thing. And the angel just simply reminds her at this time of the great importance of that. And of course, we should learn a lesson from that today, that we know that our children are important, that they are dear, that all of our life's vitality is spent in that direction while they are under our care. We serve God diligently, and we then do all that we can to properly raise our children. And even from the time of conception on, we should start thinking about the care of our children. a woman should properly take care of her body. She should eat the proper food. She should take the right exercise and not expose herself to chemicals and drugs and foreign material that is known to cause damage to the fetus. Things that are bad for our health is going to be bad for the health of the unborn baby. And so it is most important then to begin this care while the baby is being carried in the womb. For example, studies have shown that mothers who smoke cigarettes or who are around heavy concentration of cigarette smoke do damage to their unborn baby. Mothers who drink alcohol to excess also do damage to unborn babies. Mothers who use certain drugs do damage to these babies. And so it's very important that we think of their welfare even before they're born from this standpoint. And that's the very thing the angel has in mind here. Start right now. Let her beware and not violate the things that I have told her to do, but all that I commanded her, let her observe. Beginning with verse 15, we have a further account of what happened between Manoah and the angel at this interview. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. So the first thing Manoah wanted to do at this point was to give hospitality to this angel. He didn't know that he was an angel at this time. He still thought that he was just some venerable person, and so he wanted to show his hospitality. He wanted to make ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. The same as the angel said to Gideon. Angels do not need food or drink. This is not required for them. And so he wouldn't eat of the bread of Manoah. There was no need for him to have this kind of hospitality given to him because this was not something that he had a need of at all. So he says, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it to the Lord. So take what you're going to give me to eat in the way of hospitality and turn it into a burnt offering and then offer that unto the Lord. Don't sacrifice it to me. I'm not to be worshipped. I'm not to be adored. Rather, it's the Lord that's to receive the praise and the honor and the sacrifice. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. So at this point, Manoah still did not know that he was an angel. And had he known this, he probably would not have conversed with him as much as he did. Because the very act of knowing that this was an angel, that this was a holy being of God, would have overwhelmed him to the point that he wouldn't have had the courage to have spoken and conversed with this holy being. So he still didn't know that he was an angel of the Lord. Verse 17, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when these sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. So Manoah is telling the angel, would like to have a better acquaintance with you, would like to be able to make contact with you after this child is born, so that we can do you honor, so we can give you some praise and honor you for having pronounced this blessing upon us. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So the name was secret. At this time, none of the angels' names had been given. It was not intended for man to know the names of the angels. And it's quite possibly because at this time there was such a tendency among the people to idolize them and to worship them and to do the wrong thing in that way. And so the name was not known. It was not until after the captivity, after these people had been taught the very great lesson against idolatry, that angels' names were made known to men. So when the church had been cured of idolatry, angels made themselves known to Daniel by their names, Michael and Gabriel, and to Zacharias the angel told his name in Luke 1:19 when he says, I am Gabriel. But here it is secret, not intended for man to know. And truly there are many things in this life that is not intended for us to know, and we accept it as that because God reveals to us through his word the things that we are to know. So, verse 19, Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. So here Manoah is not a priest, but he does as the angel bids him do. He takes this kid and offers it upon a rock to the Lord. And as Manoah and his wife looked on, they were not participating in this now. They were simply observing this as the angel did this, the angel did wondrously. We're going to see that the angel behaved in such a way that he made himself known to them that he was an angel, and there was no question in their mind that this was a miraculous deed, and it's described here as the angel having done wondrously while Manoah and his wife looked on. They were witnesses of this, two witnesses. They saw this. There's no question that it did happen, but they then were observers as the angel did what he did. Verse 20, "For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar." So here this angel showed that he was no mere man. He was not confined to this earth as a man is, nor was he under the influence of fire like the body of a man would be. But he was able then to ascend in the flame of the altar. "And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground." As they saw this great miraculous event happen, as it was proven to them beyond any shadow of a doubt that this was an angel from heaven, that this was a heavenly being, that this was a messenger from God, and he was not a member of another tribe round about, he was not a fellow human being, then they fell on their faces to the ground. They were giving awesome respect. They were in worshipful honor of this event that was provided to them by God. And so they could not look upon it for the full time, but they had to fall on their faces to the ground. For this angel went into the flame, and he ascended in the flame of the altar. And this is truly a place where he maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. We might note that it's twice said that Manoah and his wife looked on it. That is, they were observers. This was truly a miracle. It's not something that they brought about. It's not something that they assisted in the happening of. But it was truly a miraculous thing that this angel did right before their eyes as he entered into this flame of the sacrifice and ascended into heaven. "But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife." Now they had received the message. The angel did not intend to have a permanent ongoing communication with them like he would the prophets, for example. He gave the message. He indelibly imprinted it upon their minds, and they received no more communication from the angel. He did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. So this is the way it is with us today when we have the Word of God. We do not look for further revelations. We do not look for further re-giving again of this word. We have it. It's been once delivered to the saints, and consequently we use it then for what it is and for what we have. We have enough given to us. We have enough information. We have enough to know the things God intends for us to know. We would like to know more about some things, but it's not intended for us to know, and so it is in the case here of Manoah and his wife. They had been given enough information about this child. He'd been adequately prophesied about, and so the angel tells them that even the second time what the wife is to do, and consequently they have enough information. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. So he realized here now, really, after this miracle, that this truly was an angel of the Lord. It struck great fear into him. Verse 22 says, "And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we've seen God." Now they had this idea that if you see God, that's just time to die. You cannot be permitted to live beyond that point of having actually made contact with God or hear a holy being of God. And so he was filled with fear. And at this particular instant, he lost maybe the faith that he did have about the promise. He was so overcome, he was so awe-stricken by the fact that this actually was an angel, that he saw this great miracle performed right there before his eyes. He had fallen down on his face, and so he says, we're going to have to die. It's time to die before we've seen God. "But the wife said unto him." Now here we see the wife, at this point, had more faith, more insight, more understanding than Manoah had. And so she uses her faith, she uses her strength, she used her ability to see the true end of this to give comfort to her husband. And of course, this is the job of true yoke fellows, to comfort and to strengthen and to aid each other. And Manoah's wife does that very thing. "The wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these." It's not reasonable that we're going to have to die, Manoah. If the Lord were going to kill us, he wouldn't have received this offering. He would not have allowed us to worship him in this manner if he were ready to kill us. And also, he wouldn't have told us the things that he's told us. The things he's told us have yet to come to pass. There's a child going to be born, a child going to be raised by us. How can that possibly happen? How can God carry out this promise to us if he's ready to cause us to die at this time? So she has more strength, more faith at this time than Manoah has. She's able to see the true end of this event, that the purpose is not to cause them to die. The purpose is simply to bring about the fulfilling of this promise that they're going to have a child, and the child is going to begin to deliver his nation from the Philistines. And so now the job of work is set before them. They are to get ready, prepare to have the child. She is going to begin to carry out these duties that the Nazirite would do so as to not to defile this unborn child. And so they're going to get on with the business that is at hand. Well, we're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.